We did not have discussions with Uber. We did shut down their testing here in the state of Arizona. We wanted to see the federal report before we made comment, and now the NTSB has given us the executive summary.
Had you wished that they would have stayed, and once the review had been complete and they'd sort of figured out and worked out the bugs, that they'd been come back and tested more on Arizona streets?
My first objective is public health and public safety, and I think Uber has some questions that they need to answer that they have not yet answered, so they need to make their decisions. But I have a role as governor, and I'm going to make certain to follow that role.
Does what happened with Uber, and to a lesser extent maybe what happened with Theranos, make you sort of rethink the calculation when you're trying to bring companies like that, innovative companies, in sort of the calculation, the cost-benefit analysis maybe of innovation versus potential risk of a new technology?
Well, my first concern is always going to be for the citizen of Arizona. It's not for some company, but what I want to do is make Arizona a great place for entrepreneurs, for small businesses, owners, and for new ideas to flourish. So all we've done is open Arizona for business. We know ideas will come here. The market will decide whether or not they're going to be successful. I want to make sure that we're a safe place to live. And I think, you know, in the private sector, people vote with their dollars. In the game of states, people vote with their feet. The fact that over 200,000 people have moved to the state of Arizona since 2015, we just punched through 7 million in terms of population and plus 160,000 jobs here. We've got an environment that people can embrace. They love to live, work, and play here, and that's something we want to amplify. But we'll always want to make certain that we've got the proper rules and regulations in place to protect our citizens.
You've talked a lot in the past about wanting to bring tech companies and innovators and entrepreneurs to Arizona. I'm wondering if in any way what happened with Uber puts a dent in that somewhat, or is that just kind of the nature of the game? When you have new ideas, new technologies, some will work and some won't.
Well, the first thing I want to say is it's tragic whenever you have a loss of life. So my heart goes out to that family. I also want to acknowledge that on the highways and byways of the United States, we have over 38,000 deaths every year. The majority of them are caused by human error. So the real promise of autonomous vehicles and driverless technology is that we can have much safer roadways. That's what we're hopeful for, but that's going to be up to the companies that are testing this. Today, these vehicles have human beings in them. Of course, they're licensed, they're insured, they're under the same infrastructure that all of our drivers are. And unfortunately, there's way too many traffic deaths, and this one was avoidable, and Uber's going to do their testing elsewhere.
Obviously, there are a lot of other companies that are doing their testing, both here and elsewhere. I'm wondering, does losing a company like Uber hurt Arizona's ability to sort of, as you would like it to see, be a leader in this kind of testing?
I think, just like the New York Times said, Arizona is the place where autonomous vehicles go to learn. I mean, that was a front page Sunday edition issue. That's the reputation of Arizona. As long as I'm governor, Arizona will continue to be open for business, but always with a focus on public health and public safety. The two aren't mutually exclusive.
Let me ask you about where you were on Monday evening, which was Washington, D.C. You had a meeting with President Trump. You were talking about immigration, and I'm curious about what you think about, you know, one of his big campaign promises, obviously, was the border wall. One of your goals as governor was to sort of improve business relationships and other relationships between Arizona and Mexico. How do you think a wall sort of plays into what you've been trying to do with our neighbors to the south?
Well, it was a very productive meeting, and the focus of it really was around border security and what's happening in the United States and specifically Arizona. I think there were five other governors there. I was able to share with President Trump the wonderful relationship that the state of Arizona has with Mexico and its sister state of Sonora, some of the economic wins that we've had because of that relationship. I also made the case for free trade and improvement in our NAFTA project. And then a separate favorite topic is around border security. I mean, when we talk about this opioid epidemic in the United States and the heroin trade that has been reinvigorated and synthetics coming from China, I'm proud of much of what's happening in the state of Arizona. I'm not proud that those drugs illegally are coming across our border. So there's a lot of discussion around a wall. There's two-thirds of Arizona's border right now has a wall or a physical barrier. So when you talk about, you're talking about filling in the other third. But the focus for me and the focus for the president in this discussion is on the drug cartels and the human traffickers. And I think that's a fight worth fighting. What we don't want to build a wall around is our economy. And that's the conversation that I have with leaders in Mexico. And we're on the same page. Claudia Pavlovich wants to see a safe border as much as Doug Ducey does.
Does it seem like the president of this country is on board with what you just said?
We had a much agreement around this discussion. I think what the president would like to do, and I don't want to speak for the president, but we need immigration reform. We have an issue with DACA, of course, and we have border security. Somehow they all get lumped together back in Washington, D.C. Here in the state of Arizona, we focused very closely, and I've built a wonderful relationship with Governor Claudia Pavlovich of our sister state of Sonora that's grown into a partnership and a friendship. And it's because we focused on economic development. And when we have our discussions around border security, they are separate. And I think that's a model that can work in Washington as well.
I want to ask you about a recent Supreme Court ruling that you've talked about a little bit in the past, which allows states to legalize sports betting. And I'm wondering if, in your mind, you see this in Arizona as more of an if it will happen or when it will happen kind of thing.
I see this in Arizona of a when it will happen type of thing. I do think that this is opportunity for the state of Arizona. I think this is a blow for freedom and liberty. But I also think there's a right and proper way to do this. So we're going to put together a stakeholder group. We're going to research where this has been done. And I think not only is this something that people will see as gaming or entertainment, but it's something that can be beneficial to the state's general fund and to the citizens of Arizona.
Do you have a timeline for when you would like to see this happen, understanding that other states around us might be working on this as well?
I have a timeline. I always have a sense of urgency and would like to be purposeful in what we'd like to get done. But I want to make sure that we maintain the culture and flavor of Arizona. I also want to hear thoughts from, like I say, these stakeholder groups and what they would like to see here. And I also want to hear concerns. So we are headed into an election cycle. Of course, we can walk and chew gum at the same time. I'm going to continue to lead and govern the state as I make the case for re-election. But I think this is something that where you want to measure twice and cut once. It's a place where you want to be thoughtful. You don't want to go too far and then have to rein it in. You can always find new opportunities or expand it along the way. And I also want to say we have a gaming compact that was written in the year 2000 with the tribes of Arizona, the tribal nations of Arizona. It has been somewhat successful to date, but the world has changed tremendously since the year 2000. The internet and what can be done online, the devices we all carry with us. So we want to respect the compact. We want to work with the tribal community, and we want to talk what could be a win-win-win. The state of Arizona, of course, the tribal nations, our citizens, and then our general fund.
Do you imagine that any addition of legal sports betting in Arizona would have to be done within the confines of either the existing or maybe a new gaming compact?
I'm open-minded to this. I'd like to see a new and improved gaming compact that accounts for how the world's changed and how to best take advantage of it responsibly, always thinking first and foremost of our citizens.
One of your legislative priorities that didn't make it through the process this year was your school safety plan. And given the recent events in Santa Fe, Texas, this has unfortunately come back into the news again. Understanding that this is something that you've said you would like to continue to pursue and realizing what happened and didn't happen in the legislature, what changes are you open to from the plan that you presented to lawmakers that might have a better chance of getting through the legislature?
I'm disappointed that we didn't do more on school safety. We were the first state and the only state that was trying to act proactively on school safety. It seems that many states are reactive on school safety after there's one of these mass tragedies. But the genesis of this plan was really listening to Rick Scott, the governor of Florida, back at the governor's only meeting in Washington, D.C., and saying, why don't we assemble shareholder or stakeholder groups here in Arizona? And that's what I came back and did. I talked to kids in the classroom. I talked to their parents. Talk to their teachers, all of these groups individually, in groups of 12 to 20, Republican and Democrat, urban and rural. Well, what does school safety look like to you? Do you feel safe today inside your school? We added mental and behavioral health professionals to that, law enforcement officials, prosecutors. And I think we came out with a really thorough and thoughtful plan. We were able to pass some of it. We were able to get some dollars into behavioral health and counseling, and I think that will be a positive. We've also funded our background check, and there's really dramatic improvement possible for Arizona on the background check. And it's not just Arizona. This is an opportunity for every governor in every state in the country, because our background check is really only as good as California, Utah's, Colorado's, and New Jersey's. I mean, we live in a very mobile country. But the thing that was left on the table, the biggest thing that was left on the table, was our stop order. This is the severe threat order of protection. It's something we put together with the input of the stakeholder groups across the country. Now that, you know, prophets from outside our land, people like Hugh Hewitt and David French and National Review, are saying this is actually an excellent plan. Now legislators are saying, well, maybe I'm open-minded to this plan. This is something I still want to get done. We'll have some time to get it done. You never finish a legislative session fully satisfied that you were able to get everything on your agenda passed. So I don't think we, like Vince Lombardi said, you know, he never lost a football game. He just ran out of time. We need a little more time on this one. We'll be able to get it done.
Do you foresee a special session on this? Do you think there will be any action this year on this issue?
I wanted to get this done in the regular session. This was the plan that we presented in the regular session. I don't know why I would call a special session so legislators could come back here to collect per diems when they still haven't committed to a very common sense plan that can make Arizona schools safer. But that doesn't mean that we can't get it done or lay the groundwork or work in small group settings to make sure we're in a position for success going forward.
Let's talk about education funding and specifically teacher pay, which is an issue that, as you know, came to dominate the end of the legislative session. Given what you have seen from school districts across the state, how comfortable are you that school boards and school districts are allocating the money that was set aside for teacher raises in the way that you had hoped that they would?
Well, what we want to do is, as governor and the legislature, remain in the resource business. And we want superintendents and principals to be in the personnel business. So we wanted to put these resources forward so that there would be a possibility for a 20% teacher pay increase by the year 2020. And on my Twitter feed, at Doug Ducey, we've been posting what the budgets look like. And we've been really very pleasantly surprised. We have many of our districts that are actually exceeding the pace for a 20% pay increase, which to be on our pace, you need to have a 10% in this fiscal year. That's in 9% from this session. So we saw, like, for instance, Yuma Unified School District is going to be plus 12% on teacher pay, along with pay increases for all supporting personnel. That's assistant teachers, counselors, crossing guards, food service and cafeteria people. So if you go to the feed, you'll see that we've got everywhere from 8% to 12%. But we also wanted to leave some flexibility there. And that's at the request of the superintendents and principals, that if you have a person that's newer into teaching and lower on the pay scale, they may need a bigger bump, because part of this is not only demonstrating to our teachers that we value them and that we respect them, it's also to retain them. So if someone's been around a while and they have a higher salary in the $60,000 or $70,000 range, we wanted the superintendent to have the flexibility to go someone who's newer, maybe in their first decade of teaching, and needs that bump, because we want to keep them in teaching, because there's a lot of discussion mark around this teacher shortage. And I want people to know that this isn't just in Arizona. There's 48 other governors across America that you could be interviewing today that are also experiencing a teacher shortage. So we want young people, new people, the talented people on our three public universities in the state of Arizona to consider teaching in a public school profession as a mission-driven pursuit, but we want our superintendents and principals to have the ability to provide them the salary that will lure them into that.
Understanding that one legislature can't tell a future legislature what to do and how to spend its money, and understanding sort of the unpredictable nature of the economy, are you willing to say with as much confidence as you possibly can that in future years and by the time we get to 2020, teachers will get all the money that you said that they would this year?
The commitment that we made, and we advanced appropriated this. This is what we passed through the legislature because this question came so often. And these dollars have been appropriated. They're permanent, ongoing, in the base, and inflated. And if there would be a legislature somehow that would be elected, I can't imagine how this could happen, that would want to reverse this 20% pay increase. What I've said is I will veto any budget that is less than this. So we were able to pass this during this term. The commitment is this is ongoing, but these dollars are already coming. The only thing that could happen here is someone could come in, and if someone wants to run on undoing these teacher pay increases, best of luck to them. We're going to get these dollars to the teachers. I think this is not only something that they've earned and deserved, it was something we were very proud to accomplish in this legislative session.
All right. Governor Doug Ducey of Arizona. Governor, thanks a lot for coming in.
Thanks for having me.